generation's greatest outdoorsman and one of its most successful businessmen. As a pioneering rock climber, Chouinard put up first ascents on some of the most challenging granite walls in the world. As a kayaker, he navigated first descents of perilous rivers. As a surfer, he sought out virgin waves on pristine beaches. He scaled glaciers in the Arctic, stalked wild tigers in Siberia, and got lost in the mountains of Bhutan. He almost fell to his death in Wyoming. He nearly died in an avalanche in China. He almost drowned in Chile. He revolutionized the sport of rock climbing twice, first by establishing previously unfathomable routes, and then with his reinvention of just about every piece of climbing equipment. He helped invent the sport of ice climbing, devising tools and techniques for scaling frozen waterfalls. And he became one of the world's finest anglers, catching rainbow trout with an ease that confounded even the most seasoned fishing guides. Chouinard founded two companies, each of which survived more than a half century. Chouinard Equipment, his climbing gear business, was no longer under his control, but lived on as Black Diamond and remained a major force in the outdoor gear market. Patagonia, his apparel company, was bigger than ever, boasting sales of more than $1 billion a year. As an executive, Chouinard developed a reputation as both an uncompromising craftsman with an intuitive knack for design and a visionary leader who was decades ahead of his time. Under his stewardship, Patagonia became one of the most progressive companies in the world, setting the agenda for the rest of corporate America with its commitment to childcare, its embrace of work-life balance, its focus on sustainability, and its political activism. All this success, however, left Chouinard antsy and agitated at the end of his career. The fact that he was a living legend wasn't really what irked him. It was the money. Maintaining full control of Patagonia for so long enabled Chouinard to live the life he wanted, spending decades exploring Earth's wildest places and creating a different sort of corporation in the process. It gave him the means to become a major funder of large-scale conservation projects. But in his waning years, Chouinard's ownership of a multi-billion dollar company had become a burden. He was a billionaire on paper. Financial magazines estimated his net worth to be $1.2 billion, a ludicrous sum to a man who still cooked with the same cast-iron skillet he had acquired 50 years ago, lived in a log cabin cluttered with secondhand furniture, and didn't own a cell phone or a computer. Labeling him a billionaire was blasphemous, an affront to everything he stood for, and he wouldn't be able to relax until he remedied this cosmic clerical error. For decades, Chouinard tried to figure out what to do with Patagonia. What did succession planning look like at a company that didn't play by the rules? How could he get rid of his wealth while keeping control of his company? Chouinard and his inner circle, along with some high-priced estate planners, dreamed up different arrangements that could accomplish several seemingly contradictory goals at once. Chouinard wanted to find a way to funnel the bulk of Patagonia's profits, more than $100 million a year, to combating the environmental crisis. He also wanted to ensure the company remained independent and wouldn't be taken over. Most importantly, he wanted to make sure no one could ever call him a billionaire again. It took years of work, but after several false starts, they finally landed on an acceptable solution. And so it was that on a mild day in September of 2022, after months of planning, Chouinard made his big reveal. With his employees gathered at Patagonia's headquarters in Ventura, California, the Pacific Ocean so close they could smell the salt in the air, he announced his audacious plan. He was giving the whole company away. Using a complex new structure of trusts and nonprofit entities, Chouinard and his family renounced their claim to a multi-billion dollar fortune, locking up the equity of the company in a way that would make a hostile takeover all but impossible, and ensuring that all future profits would go toward protecting the planet. He was not cashing out. There would be no initial public offering, no sale